Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour on the programme, we're continuing our look ahead to this year's House of Keys general election by speaking to another of the new candidates to come forward. Today's election 2016 candidate interview is with Richard Halsall of the Manx Labour Party, who will be standing in Douglas East. Good afternoon, Richard, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu.
First of all, let's set our stall out. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in politics.
Well, actually collection manager at the Wildlife Park at the moment, which means I'm a civil servant.
What's a collection manager? What do you collect?
In charge of all the animals and the staff who look after them.
Okay.
So that's my background. And through that, so I education-wise, I've done a degrees in animal management and in animal and, well, behavioural sciences. So that's sort of where I come from. But I suppose my interest in politics started from when you're at conferences and things for zoos. You end up talking about conservation, those sort of issues.
Yeah.
That quite quickly leads on to issues surrounding social politics and how it affects people. And I actually found that side far more interesting than the conservation side. And it's just grown from there, you know, find out as much about progressive politics as possible,
how
we can help people.
And, do you live on that side of the island, or are you from Douglas?
I was born and raised in Kirkmichael, but I've been living in Douglas for the past 25 years.
Okay, all right. So you don't need a passport anymore.
Not anymore.
And any family?
I live with my partner Kirsty, but we have no children.
Right, okay. And you're a member of the Manx Labour Party. I think there are three candidates standing at the general election this time. How important do you think it is to be affiliated with something like the Manx Labour Party? And is this an attempt to introduce party politics to the Isle of Man?
Well, I've always been a firm believer in party politics. I think that if democracy is to function properly, people have to be open and honest to what they stand for, and representing a party is the clearest demonstration of that principle. I mean, if you're an independent, you can appear as all things to all people, but if I want to win over somebody who's not necessarily subscribes to the Labour Party's philosophy, I've got to do that with the strength of argument. So it's really laying all your cards on the table.
But what do you think about politics in the Isle of Man? Because ostensibly we do have, you know, every MHK is independent. I know that we've got the Lib Van contingent, but do you think that we ought to have a two-party system like the UK?
I think a multi-party system is far more functional. It means people get a choice to vote on an island-wide mandate rather than just on, like as it is, if the Chief Minister puts together his manifesto. In this case, it was only Ramsay that really got to vote on it.
Got you. So if we did have a party system, for example, you could be knocking on doors over the next couple of months and people would already know your policies because there would be Manx Labour Party policies.
Yeah, we launched a policy document a few months ago, but you know, my manifesto will be built on that, but it'll be more targeted to the constituency. So our policies are already out there.
Okay.
So all candidates share the same policy.
And give me an idea of some of the skills that you've got. I believe that you've developed a skill in budget control. Is that actually any use if we're talking about national government?
It means you can read a balance sheet. That's probably as far as it goes. I think the skills that I'd really bring to it is the fact that I'm a great believer in making evidence-based decisions. I think that government tend to rush into making opinion-based decisions, or they make decisions based on what they believe is fact, but actually they've just looked for evidence that reinforces their previous held beliefs.
Yeah, okay. Now, you are, as you say, a civil servant, so I'd be interested in your views on the public sector pensions problem, which is, you know, on the lips of many people this time of the year.
Yeah, I think that the proposal put forward at the moment, although it's far from perfect, at least it does sort of solves the problem going forward. I think the real issue with it is the fact that trying to prolong the debate is actually making difficulties in recruitment of doctors, nurses, teachers, and that's far more destructive to society than having to pay some of the tax budget over. I mean, a lot of the government's plans revolve around growing the economy, but when we start to have a failing health service, then you'll see the economy will fail to grow because companies will start leaving the island far more than they are already maybe at the moment.
So is that one of those catch-22 situations, though? I mean, is there a way out of that? Because, as I've said to other candidates, the problem with using part of growth in the economy to fund the shortfall as far as the pensions are concerned is that it's the private sector that is going to grow the economy and not government, isn't it?
Yes, to an extent, but the private sector don't grow without the help of government. And to be honest, you know, that they... A lot of policies put in place by government have actually benefited the private sector as much as they have the public sector.
Okay. All right. And so, I mean, policies generally, where do you think the island's going wrong? And why have you decided to stand now? I mean, I'm guessing that you could have stood 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really... firstly, I mean, I have a job that I actually really enjoy, so it's, you know, it's a big wrench for me to leave that. But the thing that's forced me to throw my hat into the ring this year is the fact that I've been frustrated with the fact society has become more and more fragmented. We have two economies taking place. We've got one that's doing very, very well, thank you very much, and the other one, which is, so we say, people are struggling to say the least. And for me, inequality is the big issue. That's central to everything. You know, inequality sort of it hurts families, it hurts business, it hurts the economy, it hurts society as a whole.
So do you subscribe to the view that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer?
Well, that's what the evidence suggests.
Yeah, okay. And but what's the answer to that?
Well, for me, in the short term, I would say that we need to introduce a living wage, move the minimum wage up to a living wage. I mean, the minimum wage is currently £7 an hour. The UK minimum wage, the real one, not the one that Osborne's come up with, is £8.25 outside London. And we're somewhere between the £8.25 and the £9.40 London. I've calculated to be about £8.85, so we need to sort of, in the next 5 years, work towards that.
And where does that money come from? It's all very well saying that people should earn more money. Where does it come from?
I think it's one of those things that people instinctively say, well, you know, rising a minimum wage will actually reduce unemployment, but the evidence is the exact opposite is true.
Well, it could increase unemployment because...
That's what I mean. People generally say that unemployment increases, but the evidence is that's the exact opposite that takes place, is that most of the small businesses that are employing people on minimum wage are very much service-focused, and we're losing the retail sector, we're losing the hospitality sector. If people have got money in their pockets, they can be spending in them. I mean, people who are least well off spend all their money, as the people who have a lot of money tend to stick it in the bank and leave it there.
Yeah, there is that to an extent. Being nice about it, that's a bit of a simplistic view, maybe.
It is. I mean, but I think that one of the things that the island suffers from, you can't have decent welfare standards, different standards of care for people who are in the community, and low tax. We have to sort of try to find a way of transferring money from one section to the other. Otherwise, we're basically driving people who are struggling off the island. You know, it's a case of what I've described as economic cleansing.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't afford to live here, why are you living here?
All right. I mean, let me put this to you then. If you are elected in September, how much difference do you think that you can actually make as far as Manx politics is concerned? Because I appreciate that, you know, I'm going to be talking to an awful lot of very nice people over the next couple of months, all of whom have got very laudable objectives. I sometimes wonder how many of them are actually achievable.
I think that's the problem with having a government that's made up of individuals rather than a party. I mean, that everybody is sort of have this, what they call consensus politics, but when you have so many opinions, then you tend to go nowhere. I think you have to decide the direction society needs to move in and move towards that. I mean, if it's only me shouting from the outside, then so be it. If you can bring people along with you and say, no, this is what we need to do, then so much the better. I think that it's, again, it's the age-old argument of why party politics is what's required for the island.
All right. You're a supporter of the political green movement, I believe. At what cost should that sort of agenda be pursued?
I think that the sustainability should be the forefront of everything we do, not just environmental sustainability, but sustainability of jobs, of the economy. Everything is sustainable and looked at in those sort of measures. I don't think we can afford not to do anything. It's simple as that. I mean, we already... almost at a tipping point. If we want to have a future for what are people's grandchildren's now, we have to do something now.
Yeah. You know? We were talking on the programme yesterday about a number of things, but including in that was we were talking about whether or not the government's amount of charitable donations should go up, the International Development Fund, whether or not we ought to be going to this 0.7% thing. What's your view on that?
I think we should, yes. I think the island has benefited a lot of ways from the growth of taking wealth from some of the third world countries, and therefore we should be giving something back. I think we are one world, one planet. We have to sort of cater for everybody.
But a lot of people got in touch yesterday, for example, and said, no, we've got to look after our own first. Charity begins at home.
It's quite a simplistic and easy view to take on it. But I think we have to be sort of bigger than that. You know, the island does punch above its weight in lots of ways, and that's one of them we should do.
What are the biggest issues in Douglas East? Let's come to your manor, particularly. And is there any real difference between Douglas East and the rest of Douglas?
I think probably the biggest issue that I've found so far is affordable housing. But I suspect that's probably one that's national. I mean, there's people are in some accommodation that is, I think you generally call it, substandard, and they're paying rents that are too high for them. But the constituency is very wide. You have some very, very rich sort of sections within the community and some very, very poor.
Yeah.
But I think the ones that everybody, the consensus that people have in is obviously the promenade, the horse trams and the Castle Mona, the big issues that sort of I was surprised how strong people's opinions of them are.
Oh, very strong, yeah. Especially the promenade. And whenever we talk about the Castle Mona, you know, people are outraged that that's been allowed to happen. What do you think should happen, for example, with the Castle Mona and the prom?
I think they have to get strong with the owners of Castle Mona. And, you know, there's no sort of seems to be agreement in government of how much the asking price is. It needs to be sort of established what that should be. And then if, say, right, it has to be sold, and if the price is too high, then government should step in and say, well, in that case, we will take it off you and we will sell it. But it needs to be, it needs to be move forward, otherwise it seems to be sat there waiting until it decays, till it's demolished.
And then the promenade, which of the schemes have you been most in favour of there?
I'm just in favour of getting it done, so for me I just want to see it sort of flattened, resurfaced and smooth so it's safe to drive on. I have to say I'm a fan of the horse trams, and I do think they should run the full length, but that's from my sort of a tourism background. I think it's one of those things where that I know that the Chief Minister said no, we won't run them. But I think it's one of those things with knowing the cost of something but not its value, and how much it actually contributes overall to the amongst tourism. We'll have to see. It needs to be audited to see how much it does contribute.
So you weren't in favour of the original scheme, which was going to be a whole new vision for Douglas Promenade. You think it just should be reinstated but done properly?
Yes, I think that we haven't got the money for that. I mean, that's money that could be better spent on other things.
Okay. You make a big play about the fact that you think that growth in the economy is going to come primarily from tourism. How is that going to happen in the Isle of Man?
I wouldn't say primarily from tourism. I think that tourism has a great multiplier effect. I think it's something that's been neglected over the years, that we've invested in the financial sector and have turned our back on it. I think one of the things that I like about it is it also has great financial multiplier and great employment multiplier. I think the destination management plan had some nice ideas in it. Once you got through sort of the management speak and sort of got down into the way it was written, I think some of those should be implemented, but we need to put money to it. There was no resources to put aside for that. Yes, we do need to sort of try to get people to be more welcoming. We still need to focus on the niche tourism, such as our heritage, our wildlife, and those sort of things. I mean, we do niche tourism well. I mean, the TT is niche tourism. It's just the one that we really focus on. We need to see the other things we do.
Okay, but how would you do that? And I mean, whenever we talk about tourism, people say, well, you know, it's the cost of getting here that stops the job, and also the fact that, you know, we suffer from fairly inclement weather most of the time. So if you've got a family, then are you not driven by price? Is it not a case of where can we go for the cheapest amount of money and get the most sunshine?
I don't think we're actually we're a cold water attraction anyway. We're not going to sort of attract the booked and spade market. I think we need to be focusing on short breaks, which is, I think, our biggest visitor figures are those who are in their 40s and 50s, which the knowledge seekers, people who want to go and find out things, have an experiential sort of four-day break, and I think that's what we've got to concentrate on building that. Yes, it's expensive, but they're the people who have money. The family market is possibly the most strapped and competitive, and I think people who want to go and have a truly authentic and experienced type holiday, they are less put off by price.
All right, but what experience would people have in the Isle of Man that they wouldn't have in, say, the Lake District or Ireland or any of our competitors?
I think it's our culture and our heritage is the big difference. I think that we don't, although we push it, I mean, even our industrial archaeology in itself is quite fascinating when people get into it, as well as our social history, and those there needs to be some way of marketed together and tied up, so as when you come to the island, you can say, oh, let's go on those three or four things, and then there's a central point you come to say, I'm booked in for those, without having to come here and then find your way around.
Does it surprise you and does it irritate you like it does me that, you know, you talk to an awful lot of people in the UK who have got no idea where the Isle of Man is?
Oh, absolutely.
They think when they do know that we're part of the UK, which we're not, you know, do you think that we need to do more to try and market ourselves?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's one of those things that if you start marketing and building up a head of steam, then it becomes more widely well known. I mean, we just sit here quietly sort of hiding our light under a bush, so to speak.
Okay. You say that you think the government's performance in dealing with the pressures in the reduction in income were clumsy and unfocused. How should they have done better with that?
I think there should have been a longer term view. The thing that's bothered me is that any ways to raise income has been at the expense of those who have the least, rather than saying, well, let's try to make it fair and broad, and likewise to reduce expenditure, it's been the same target on the same people. I think that we need to look at taxation again. I don't accept the argument that to even to look at it will be damaging to the economy. I don't think...
You don't accept that?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that there's a definitely perception that people say that if you continue to raise taxes, then you lose income. That's what everybody says, but it's not true. Again, people say if you put up taxes, then the wealthy will leave. Again, not true. People didn't flood here to the island when they lowered taxes. I mean, wealthy people are as embedded in the society as anybody else. They're not driven to move simply by taxes.
Okay. What do you think of the tax cap?
I didn't agree with it when it was brought in, and I don't agree with it now. It hasn't brought the... We're not knee-deep in wealthy people, as it was forecast. There was some people have come, some people have left, whether they've come for the tax cap, whether they've come because they want to live on the Isle of Man. It's never been made clear.
I mean, we are getting millions of pounds of income from the tax cappers every year. Do you think that we would have got that anyway?
I think we would have got that anyway, yes.
So what, you'd reduce the tax cap and just let the market sort itself
out? Yeah, I would increase the marginal rate of ordinary taxation.
Okay. To what degree do you think should the government support business to create growth in the economy?
Well, firstly, I think we're already supporting business through in-work benefits, largely for smaller businesses. That's what in-work benefits is doing. I think we need to sort of provide more help. I mean, if lots of companies sort of, if you look at, say, the tourist sector as small businesses, they need help with their IT, they need help to get those things up and running. That's what government should be doing, is facilitating the development of digital communication for every sort of business that they need to market.
But doesn't everybody have that now?
They
I mean,
do.
10 years ago, I might understand what you're
yes.
saying, but surely everybody now, even if it's only somebody who's sweeping the floors, knows how, you know, IT works
they
and
do.
Can advise.
They do, but you go and look at up accommodation on the Isle of Man. It's surprisingly dated.
You're
you
know. Choosing your words very carefully there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So you think that that's an example of where government could spend money to grow the economy?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about things like the £50 million development fund? Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes. I think it's one of the things we need to be doing, but it needs to be closely monitored. I also think that's one of the things that I said before, is that a similar sort of thing for other sectors, for existing sectors, is possibly a good thing, not just to attract new ones, to grow the ones we've got.
Okay. We talk a lot about the older generation. The Chief Minister said many years ago now, probably at the start of this administration, that the problem, or one of the problems that the island's got, is that we've got an ageing population. And, you know, there is a cost implication of that. What's the answer to that?
I know people strongly take issue with what he said, is the fact that I was at a meeting with the University of the Third Age, and they'd costed out what the two... cost off the elderly are, and it's a net benefit to the government of £42 million a year when you
right.
put in their transfers of wealth down to their to the younger generation, their caring costs, the caring costs they provide, and the money spent in the economy. It's actually it's certainly an issue for the old generation, but not in the way that it's being portrayed. I mean, they are actually not a drain on society at all. Not until you're in the last 15 years of your life are you in sort of in need of support. So up until that, people who are 70 are equally as active as somebody who is 60, 65.
I mean, the problem is, of course, that, you know, people would work until retirement age at 65 and die within a couple of years. So, you know, there wasn't much in the way of pensions that they were taking out of the system. Nowadays, 80, 90, 100 years old, and that figure is getting greater all the time, isn't it? So isn't it going to get to being an unsustainable position?
Yeah, I mean, it does need reviewing. We do need to find a better way of sort of introducing more people to take care, more private provision for their pensions, but again, to afford to pay for your private pension, you have to have disposable income. If you've been working sort of in a low-paid job all your life, you do not have a disposable income.
How do we get more young people into the economy? Because that seems to be part of the answer to this.
Yeah.
We need young people coming in to pay the pensions of the older people, don't we?
It is true, and I think it's a challenge for everyone. I think that's one of the big issues with what the UK had a problem with immigration. It was for exact same purpose. We need to bring in younger people, but a lot of people don't like the younger people who tend to come in. I think people have to decide what they want. Do they want a society where it's going to change and change significantly in order to pay for their old age care, or do they want to sort of just sit around and say, well, I don't like that?
Be a bit more insular about
yeah.
it. Well, that leads us naturally on to how do you feel about the work permit situation? Would you favour more restrictions on work permits? You know, would you like to see fewer people moving to the Isle of Man, or do you think we still ought to get more people over?
I think the economy is currently predicated on bringing more people over, and I think that's because we're very much a consumer economy. I think that we need to decide what we want in life. Do we have to be happy with less? If we're going to be happy with less, then we can do with less people. I think it's I'm happy to see new people move the island, but I think some of their figures being quoted are too high.
Okay.
I think a lot we need to spend more on upskilling the workforce we've got to the jobs that we have.
All right, well, we've got, what, 80,000, 85,000 people here at the moment. Yeah. So what sort of a limit would you put on it? 100,000, 150?
Seeing not as high as 150,000. I think even somewhere between 90 and 100 would be the height you'd want to see. But again, you have to be very careful about the demographics you want to attract and then what you want to provide for them.
All right. You say that you're concerned that government is more looking at the economy rather than looking after the vulnerable. I mean, all would-be politicians want to help the vulnerable. So what's the difference with you on that? And how can a government do that? Because surely it's got to make the money to be able to spend it.
Yeah, I mean, the island is not poor. The island is a wealthy place. Unfortunately, that wealth is not being filtered through to the general population. I mean, if you want to... For an example, government industry now benefit from zero corporation tax. Well, they're expecting their employees to pay for all the infrastructure through their taxes.
But that's just a different way of doing taxation, isn't it? Rather than charge a company taxation, effectively the people who share those profits then pay personal taxation on it rather than company. So it still goes into the system, into the exchequer.
It does, but you're having both low personal taxation and zero corporation tax. So that's where you have to look at just personal taxation might go up. You can also look at other alternatives to taxing profits. There's also, you can look at taxing pollutants. You can tax... Use of the infrastructure and all those sort of ways of doing it. There's not just a case of let's tax profits.
But isn't that a case of the ordinary person that you're trying to protect is the person who cops for all the extra charges that come from that?
It depends on where you set your tax band. If you have sort of a higher marginal tax for those who are earning, say, £75,000 above, rather, and then you can then lower taxation for the more vulnerable in society, for the people who are worse off. You know,
okay.
Progressive taxation is what I would want to see.
All right. I think you're keen on free childcare provision for four-year-olds before and after school. Why?
One of the problems is that with certainly low-paid families, they're having to do two jobs. And sometimes the availability of work is outside those school hours. It's difficult to come by. So it actually provides people to actually go out and earn some money. I mean, they need to sort of find a way of... I say ideally that would be... Paid more for the jobs they were doing, but you know, people working for £7 an hour, two or three jobs at once.
Oh, sure. I mean, some people are doing that and having to do that to keep bread on the table, kind of a thing. There are other people who won't. So, wouldn't it be better, for example, rather than just providing free care for everybody, to target it at people who are trying the best and do it as maybe a tax credit or something like that?
Some of the schemes that people suggest become unworkable because of the cost of doing them. Universal benefits tend to be the cheapest way to administer anything. And that's where I'm strongly believing universal benefits.
Okay. So in terms of... if I was writing a newspaper headline about our interview today, I might be tempted to write, Richard Halsall, candidate for Douglas East, wants to tax everybody more. Is that an unfair take on what we've just been talking about?
Yes. Yeah, certainly everybody would be unfair.
All right, so lay out your vision then for the future. If you're elected in September, how would you like to see things change? How would you like to see the fundamental things changed?
I think we need to start sort of trying to have a society that focuses on each other rather than on themselves. I think the way our economy does, it promotes individualism all the time. It's what can I do for me? I'd rather people start to look at what can we do for everybody as a whole. I think that the things that people judge their success by are not the important things in life. I mean, well-being is far more important than possessions.
Yeah, but do you not have to get to a greater age before you realise things like that? When I was a young man, I was very aggressive and very, you know, I was full of ambition and all the rest of it. And you do measure it by money and possessions, don't you? When you get older, you think, well, maybe that wasn't important. But isn't that just a process of ageing?
No, because I've never been driven by, motivated by money or possessions. So I think it's an individual philosophy. And I think it reflects in the society you live in and your peer groups.
Yeah.
I think if you're when I grew up in, you know, in the old man, 1960s and 70s, it was a very laid-back, sort of quiet, pleasant place to be. And I think that's what shaped my philosophy. Not that I want to go back to as it was then, but that sense of community is the one thing that we've really lost. And I think that's one thing I would like to see back.
Is that achievable, or is that just the way of the world, though?
No, I don't accept it's the way of the world at all. I think it's certainly the way of a lot of countries in the Anglo-Saxon countries, but, I mean, the Scandinavian countries, far less so.
All right. Manx Labour Party candidate for Douglas East, Richard Halsall, thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.